You wanted to get quick information about the weekly Sabbath school lesson? Well, you're nearly there. Just press the button and you will get important key information about the weekly theme. Easy to understand. Short inversion. 5 minutes each day. 30 minutes each week. You will be well prepared for Sabbath in church. Your friends will be astonished about your knowledge. The promise, God's everlasting covenant. How can it be that the Most High of the universe is willing to make a covenant with you? How can it happen that a relationship with your Creator may succeed? Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the theme, the promise, God's everlasting covenant. Lesson 5, Children of the Promise. Our memory text for this week in Matthew 28, verse 20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a text. Thy shield. We read in Genesis 15, verse 1. A word from the Lord to Abram. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy, that's great, and thy exceeding great reward. And he goes on saying, namely Abraham, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? It's a kind of bitterness in his voice. Because there's one special wish, and this wish has not been fulfilled to this till this very minute. He's got no children of his own. Therefore he says, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. He is from here, Damascus in Syria. And Abram is down there, Hebron, Beersheba, in the southern part, Judah, as it was named afterwards. There he is, near the desert of Negev. And there he gets this word, I am your shield. Who says this to him? God the Almighty! I am your shield. You know, a shield, this is something that helps you when you're in a battle. The arrow flying towards your breast, your shield will cover you. If someone with his sword will hit at you, your shield will get the hit. And God tells you, I am your shield. You know, the President of the United States, he has a bodyguard. And this person is trained, if someone wants to shoot the president, the bodyguard, he himself, with his body, will throw himself in front of the president to be hit. What? Yes. He is willing to get what is thought for the president. So he is the shield. His body is the shield for the president. And this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's our shield. He was slain. He was crucified. He had to die instead of me. He paid the price for my sins. He is the one who is my shield. And he has done this voluntarily for you. Voluntarily. He's a volunteer. He was not forced to do so. He did it voluntarily. I'm your shield, he says to you. You're protected against the evil arrows of the devil. God is your shield. The Messiah Promise, Part 1. When Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, was on his flight, fleeing from his brother, he tried to get away, far away, from the hatred of his brother, because he had betrayed him. And then in the first night, he slept there, the countryside, lonely. And then he had a dream. In his dream, he saw a ladder going down from heaven to the earth, to the very point where Jacob was on earth, sleeping. And then he got a promise. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 28, verse 14. Now that's a promise, isn't it? All the families of the earth will be blessed in your seed, because Jesus Christ would come out of this seed. And Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, wrote in chapter 3, verse 29, and if you be Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Being an heir, that's something fine, isn't it? But it doesn't help if someone says, you will be my heir, but he never writes it down. And you can't find the testament when a person is dead who promised you that you would be the heir. And if you didn't say, but he told me, the one who is dead now, he said to me, I will be the heir. Yeah? Is there anyone who can testify for this? We were alone and forget it. Is there a testament? Is it written? Is there a signature? And here we have got a signature by the Almighty. If you are in Christ, what does that mean, being in Christ? Being in a close connection to Christ. being in a loving relationship, being in a trusting relationship with Christ, being in a relationship of obedience with Christ. This means being in Christ. Then you can rest in Him. Then you are protected by His blood. Then you are on the side of the winner. Being in Christ means no more death. And even when you die, He will resurrect you. So what's the problem? It's just a time of sleep in between. Sleeping is not so bad when you are resurrected afterwards. Here we find that even the offspring of Abraham, those who trust in God as Abraham trusted in God in the same way, not seeing in reality anything of the promise in a moment, and nevertheless trusting in the word of the Almighty, trusting in His word, and he will be blessed. Because out of the Israelites, the Messiah would come, and he pays the price for your sins. Therefore, we are safe. So the complete fulfillment of this promise was only in Jesus Christ. And then we got 100%. He paid the price. He did everything. And if you trust Him, if you love Him, and if you follow Him in obedience, what can happen to you? You will be resurrected. You will be saved. You will live with Him in eternity. Praise the Lord. The Messiah Promise, Part 2. In the Bible, in the first epistle to the Thessalonians by the Apostle Paul, we read an important, very, very important text for the future. In this letter to the Thessalonians, in chapter 4, we read in verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we have it again. The dead in Christ. So the ones who are already dead, but in their lifetime, in their lifespan, they have trusted the Lord, they have loved the Lord, they have followed Him in an obedient way, and therefore they are in Christ. They are the dead in Christ. And when Jesus will come again, these dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So He will not descend down to the very ground. He will stay up like a colibri in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we have two types. The ones like Elijah, who was transformed to heaven. There was no death for him on this earth. He was alive and was transformed to heaven. These will be the followers of Jesus when Jesus comes again and us these people who are still alive on earth. And those who have already died, like the Apostle Paul and all the others, they will be resurrected and transformed into the new body as the angels have. And together, this is the type of Moses, he died, was resurrected, and got a new body. So either you will be like Moses, or either you will be Elijah. But it does not matter on which side you are, because both groups are bound together in the air and will go with Jesus and his angels to the center of the universe. And there we will stay in between till this planet will be restored and will become a new one. The whole planet will become a paradise. But it will take 1,000 years in between that the Earth can celebrate all the Sabbath days which have not been celebrated by the people. 6,000 years, history of mankind. And Jesus comes again. And then 1,000 year span for the devil to do nothing because no one is here anymore. And Jesus comes again. All the ones who are not in Christ will be killed because this planet is destroyed. And those who are in Christ will be taken by the angels to heaven, to the center of the universe. And at the end, Paul says, "So shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another. He will come again and he will take you out of all this chaos on this planet. A great and mighty nation. This was the promise for Abraham. Your descendants, they will be a great and mighty nation. We read this in Genesis 12, chapter 2. "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Abraham couldn't do anything to get this by himself. It was a promise made by the Almighty God out of love. He loved Abraham because Abraham loved God and trusted him and followed him. He lived a life of obedience to God and was blessed and blessed and blessed because of this. And this blessing should go on for the descendants if they lived like Abraham and trusted and loved God and were obedient to him. In the book of Deuteronomium, so it's the fifth book written by Moses, we read in chapter 4 these important verses. I read from verse 6 onwards. "Keep therefore and do them these words of the Lord, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes." And what would they say? "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." A wise and understanding people. if they follow God's commands. Then people around will say, oh, what a wise and understanding people, these Israelites. It's great what we can read here. For what nation, he goes on saying here, is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which has set before you this day? Is there anyone? Is there any other nation who is so blessed and is so wise in its understanding because of this? Because they love the Lord, they trust him, and they follow him in an obedient manner. That's the mystery. Only a few things. It's a relationship. And a relationship born out of love and trust, it works. And it works as long as love and trust is there. Mistrusting. That's a crisis for a relationship. Whenever we sin, we mistrust God in a way. We say, okay, we know this is the way and we should go there and it's correct. But I think this plan which I have is better. So I go this way. That's kind of mistrust. You're mistrusting what he has said. And this is sin. And no blessing will follow, because what God tells you is a way where he is able to bless you. When you leave the way of blessing, how could it work? It do just the opposite, and then it won't work. So trust and love him and follow him, and you will be blessed. Make your name great. This is what God has said to Abraham. We read this in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will make your name great. Now, just the opposite we read in chapter 11. For these Babylonians who built this tower, what was their motto? Chapter 11, and there in verse 4 we read, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. People on earth, what do they think? And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Let us make us a name, that we are great and famous and prominent on this planet. Otherwise we'll be scattered. They were scattered because God came down and scattered the languages. Now, what is the difference? The Babylonians, we want to make a great name for us. And to Abraham, the Almighty says, I will make your name great. And this works. But why does God act like this? What was so special about this person, Abraham? Why is he such a special guy? What's going on here? He trusted God. He loved God, and he obeyed God. That's it. He trusted God because he knew God loves me. And whatever he's going to tell me, it will be for my benefit. It will be a blessing for me. So why shouldn't I follow him when it is a blessing for me? But it could happen that you have to wait for some time, as Abraham had to wait for a long time. But still, he waited and waited and waited. And in the end, the promise was fulfilled. We need more patience in God's promises. When he promises you something in his word, this will follow. Today, in a year, or in 10 years, whatever. When it will happen, doesn't matter. It will happen. It's not our job to say it must be next day or in a week. That's his job. I've just to trust him and to love him. He is my loving father. Therefore I trust him. Whatever he's going to tell me, I will do so. It will be the optimum for me. It will be the maximum what I can get out of this life here. He loves me. No one else loves me as he loves me. So if he tells me something, it's always for my benefit. Therefore, I want to act according to his word, even if I do not see the blessing the very moment. It will appear one day or the other. And I will wait patiently. That's all I have to do. Trusting him, loving him, obeying him. Then I'm on the side where I can be safe. And in the end, saved by him. It's good to be on the safe side, on Jesus' side. Summary. In the book Patriarchs and Prophets by Ellen G. White, we read on page 126 about Abraham. The happiest place on earth for him was the place where God would have him to be. That's an interesting sentence, isn't it? The happiest place on earth for him was the place where God would have him to be. Abraham was a nomad. He had no house. He had a tent. So many tents for his servants. And many, many sheep and goats. And they wandered and wandered and wandered. And went on and on looking for grass for their cattle. So he had never not even one square meter in this area, although it was promised to him. In the end, when his wife died, he bought a cavern near Hebron, here situated. And that was all, the cave with the dead body of his wife. That was all what he owned in the land. And he paid for that. And nothing else. And in the end, all his descendants got the whole land as a possession for them. And interesting to see, in March 2021, the Pope Francis. He traveled to Iraq, to the city of Ur, where Abraham was born, his hometown, and from there he got the call, come out from there, out from your relatives, because they were servants of heathen gods. And God wanted to take him out there, that he got a new surround, that he got new surroundings to follow God. Now why was this trip of the Pope Francis to Ur in Iraq? So it's the hometown of Abraham. And Abraham is the father of the Israelites. And he's the father of the people of Islam. And he's the father of the Christians, because he's the father for those who believe. So Christians, Muslims, and Jews have in Abraham this binding person being born in Ur, and the Pope went there to bind together these three dominations, Muslims, Jews, and Christians, into one. And who will be the leader when they are together? All the Christians, all the Jews, all the Muslims. Who will be the leader? The Pope. He wants to bring them all together and tells them, then we will have peace. We will not fight against each other as in the past. We are all one. And I'm the head of the whole body. And you follow me. But that's not what's written in the Bible. We should not follow a pope who is opposed to God, who is the Antichrist. We should follow Jesus. He is the one who will bring peace when he comes again, when he takes out with his angels all the ones who are in Christ, who love him and trust him and obey him. On which side do you want to be when Jesus comes again? On the Pope's side or on Jesus' side? It's either or. Amen.